Welcome to the CAC. As always, we're going to get started with honoring those who help us make it through these crazy times that we have. All right. So the first certificate of appreciation is going to Military and Family Readiness Center. They received several wonderful comments this month for their dedication to service and just helping military families. Thank you. Second one is going to CRM and Evan Booker. Professional, great smile, and just lovely work ethic. All right, and the last one is going to ASYMCA.
Armed Services YMCA. Hey, real quick on this topic, because I've been asked, and it's probably worth clarifying. So we do this at the beginning, this recognition, because we have made how we provide customer service a priority. It probably always is, but it's a point of attention for us across the installation. So I would just highlight, if there's somebody that you want recognized, or if you walk into a section and go, they are just absolutely fantastic. So Frank bases this on the ICE system, because we use that as our receptacle, but it doesn't have to just be that system. Feel free to send us a note, send me an email, the chief or Frank, and we'll make sure that whomever that person gets recognized, right? I'll bring them up here, I'll give them a coin, we'll give them a certificate, whatever you want to do. But that's the point of this program, because we want to highlight for our workforce that how we interact with our customer across the installation matters, right? And that sometimes the only there's only one place to get your tire changed, then there might be an opinion that, well, I can do it however I want. And that isn't the way we want to operate. We still want to provide outstanding service, even if you have to come to, say, the MPF to get an ID card. No, not to pick on the MPF. Anyway, I just want to make sure, so if there's anybody here who feels like, hey, we're not hitting the right people, just send me a note and we will recognize whomever we need to recognize. Thanks, everybody.
Thank you. All right, kicking this month CAC off with November's calendar. All right, the first thing we want to note is Polar Force is coming up, the 6th to the 9th of November. A couple of things that will be impacted from Polar Force is traffic from ground transport support will be limited. Amador Fitness Center and Hangar 5 will be 24 access only. Buckner will be minimal manned, but still operating with normal hours. The Iditarod DFAC will have a limited menu. Joint newcomers is canceled. Air Force MPF is closed. Gates are normal hours. Med group may have increased wait times for walk-ins. And that's all I have thus far. Is any add-ins for Polar Force? All right, December calendar is very limited, but once December comes around, it will be, she'll fill up a little bit more with mission stuff. Tree lighting ceremony is on the 1st. The next CAC is on the 7th. Pearl Harbor Remembrance time is on the 7th. What's not on this calendar is the Army Band will be hosting two concerts, one on the 8th. It's going to be at the Eagle River Community Covenant Church, and then 10 December at the Talkeetna Theater. All right, moving on. 22 December is the start of the holiday weekend. I believe block leave for the Army starts 22 December and runs until 6 January. So that'd be on the calendar for the next calendar. All right, then we have Christmas on the 25th of December. Any add-ins or alibis for December? Starting the new year. The first CAC will be the 4th of January. Again, no school. Then on the 12th, it's Martin Luther King Day birthday, 4-day weekend. So the PACAF and Donza Day will be on the 12th, and the day off is on the 15th. Again, January is kind of limited. Once we get there, we add more things. All right, Dads 101 starts 2 November. If you don't know about this, Dads 101 is a great program where experienced dads teach future dads how to be a dad. So that starts on 2 November. Everything in gold is pretty much what they have going on. Again, the holiday is on the 10th and 11th of November. Again, the holiday is on 23 November, 24 November for Thanksgiving. As always, he says December, eventually we'll fill out more as we get to that month. But any questions or add-ins for this calendar? All right, youth mindfulness workshops. You don't have to be a member to actually join these workshops. I believe they're going to have a group come in and help teach kids and teenagers how to be mindful.
My name is Mark Hazard. I work with the security forces, 673rd Security Forces, in the AT office. I'm here to talk about the suspicious activity reporting here at J-Bear. Okay, we already got it. In 2010, the Army iWatch program was combined with the Air Force's Eagle Eyes program here at J-Bear to create Arctic Watch. The badges on both the programs were kept, as you can see them up on the screen. We wanted to make sure that airmen and soldiers from different installations that got here, they could see this, they would recognize it, and do the reporting if they saw something suspicious. Next slide. So here are some of the signs we have posted around the installation. Hopefully you've seen these. We have them out at the front gate, some of the major facilities on post where there's large gatherings, in our parks, places like that, such as that. So we have two ways that we can report a suspicious activity. Number one, you can call the number. It's always available for anybody. And number two, you can use the QR code. When reporting online with a QR code, an email is immediately sent to the Mission Assurance Office, that would be my office, the law enforcement desk, as well as the investigations. Once they get the email, they'll do further analysis and check to see if there's anything that's required on their actions at that time. Next slide. So if you're gonna use a phone, there's two ways to do it. If you have an iPhone, just take a photo of the QR code and it'll directly take you to the J-Bear webpage. If you have a Android phone, you're gonna have to download the QR reader and then the same thing. Once you scan it, it'll take you right to the J-Bear webpage. About halfway down the page, you'll see where it says report a problem. And at that time, you can just put in your information, whatever it is that you're trying to report. And next slide. Here's an example of what it's gonna look like. I don't know if you can read it, but down at the bottom, it gives an option to include your name, phone number, email. If you send it with an email, we will respond to you, and it'll give you an opportunity to add a photo of anything that you want to add with your report. You can do it anonymously if you want, but there'd be no way for us to get back to you to answer your questions. So what we do ask, though, is because obviously our security forces can't be everywhere all the time on post, we ask with what's going on in the world now, if you see something suspicious, by all means, call or use the QR code and make a report. It's extremely important that we keep everybody as a sentry on this base and has the ability to report an incident.
Good morning, everyone. Happy November. Good morning. Slide, please. Just a quick introduction to our upcoming holiday programs. The first one is ASYMCA night at the Reindeer Farm. And if you haven't been out there yet or you're just getting to Alaska, please make sure that that is on your Alaska bucket list before you leave. It's a working reindeer farm owned by a family out in the Palmer Butte area. And we take the first Friday night of December. We purchase, you know, the whole farm, and for $10, you and your family per person, can come out. There's gonna be a professional photographer there doing portraits with Santa, hot cocoas, coffee, all the really good holiday feels to kick off the month of December. Merry Breakfast, an annual food distribution opportunity for families. That's been really popular the last few years. We'll take care of Christmas breakfast for you, so you don't have to worry about it. It is a registration program, so make sure to jump on that when that opens on December 4th. And then holiday meal support, starting next Wednesday, we promise to have all of the traditional holiday fixings through our marketplace available the whole season long. So whatever a traditional meal looks like for you and your family, we'll have it there. And if not, we'll get it for you. Slide, please. The ASYMCA Early Learning Center, we officially had our grand opening just a couple weeks ago. Child Watch program and the early learning classes both live in that facility. It's building 690 Annex next to the Buckner Fitness Center. So if you're curious about those, we are happy to give you a walkthrough. We're happy to explain the program. The hours are up there. Sorry, it got a little jumbled between the two cells there. But those programs are up and running, and there are a couple spots left in the early learning program. So if you have a four-year-old, there are some spots available there. Wait list for the three-year-old program, but that is a rolling, ongoing entry into the program. So if there's spots available, we want you in there, we want them filled. Slide, please. And then kicking off our salute to the military, you will start to see marketing come out for this event. If you're not familiar, we are happy to give you a personalized brief to explain all the details and what the event consists of, but please save the date and mark your calendars. Slide, please. With the salute to the military, we have the privilege of honoring 12 junior enlisted military members from across the state. Those military members are chosen by their branches. But we also honor one military spouse of the year and one civic leader. And those individuals are chosen by nomination from a committee. So nominations are open on our website. You can go there, find the details, submit just a quick write-up of why you think any individual would be deserving. And then we take those packets at the beginning of January and determine who that recipient will be for 2024. Slide, please. And then as always, as we get into the holiday season, please remember that we have the Y on Wheels lift program available for military members and dependents. Slide, please. Service. That's a great question. So the question was, how does it work? Is it open on base? We provide a $30 credit per week that will be dropped into an individual's personal Lyft account. So if you have a Lyft account, if you don't have one, you can get one. We provide the code, so you register for the program, the code is emailed to you, you put that code into your account, that $30 is credited each week that you sign up. There are five locations on the installation, kind of like a geo area, within a half mile radius of, I think we have the Airman dorms set, we have the BX commissary, the hospital. So as long as your ride originates or ends on J-Bear at one of those areas, it'll get you wherever you want to go to the other side of that destination. We have found that $30 approximately gets you to the airport one way, or you know, hospital to lodging, et cetera. And if that's not enough or if there's any conflict, we're always happy to kind of relook at that if those areas aren't working for your groups.
Good morning, this is Keola Chan, General Manager for the Exchange. we've got a lot of great things happening at the Exchange and all our other facilities. As you can see, we've got a bunch of turkey giveaways happening at our troop store over here at Fort Richardson and the Main Express. Basically, you know, shop the Exchange facility, and if you find a little turkey or something, then hand it over to the store manager and they'll give you a real turkey to take home. Same thing goes with that find a piggy, get a ham. That one's only at the troop store though. So those are the dates on the other column. Some other things I wanna highlight are our Veterans Day celebration starting on the 10th, next week Friday. We've got a lot of great sales going on. We'll be open at regular hours. However, we'll also have some coins, limited edition coins that we'll be handing out to the first 100 folks. So definitely join us. Colonel Dunn will be joining us and Chief Parrish to hand out those coins. So thank you. Then also on the 16th, we've got the Red Cup Day at our Starbucks. So make sure you take advantage of that. We only have limited supplies. And we've got our Starbucks coffee flight event that's happening on the 17th. It's actually become really popular. So please participate and take advantage of it. It's free. So one thing about the Veterans Day holiday, it's from the 10th to the 12th. If you use a military star card, it's triple points. So if you have a military star card, it's a great time to use it. If you don't, we can definitely sign you up. It takes only 5 minutes. And I'll highlight that you have two lines of credit, if you don't know already. There's the retail line and the military clothing line. For the military clothing line, you won't get points, but you won't have interest on your purchases. And those are good for military clothing issue items at the military clothing. So take advantage of those. Next slide. To maximize, you know, the benefits of the exchange, we always have these sweepstakes, and they're on shopmyexchange.com. So these events are happening at shopmyexchange.com, and some, these specific ones are more military star specific, but if you use it, you're automatically entered to win either a $1,000 gift card, and it's happening this month, throughout this whole month, as well as getting your military star balance paid. So take advantage of it. And if you have any units that want to get to do some fundraising, donation opportunities, we're offering free gift wrapping. We pay for the gift wrap, ribbons, tape, all that. You just provide the manpower during the holiday season to gift wrap folks' purchases. So. And if you want to sign up, contact the MFRC, Lisa Williams. She's got dates, and she can sign you up for dates and times. Any questions? Comments? Yes, my apologies. Short notice, barbershop, due to staffing, we have to close on Thursdays, Fridays, and Saturdays. On the Fort Richardson side, I apologize, we do have to close that barbershop. We're estimating at least a month, but if the situation gets better where our concession is able to rehire folks, then we will open the operations back up. So my apologies on that. Those are posted on our Facebook social media, and we have signs at those locations as well. We are working diligently on getting a contract for tattoo operations. Right now we're in the middle of negotiations. But our plan is to, we're hoping, fingers crossed, we'll have a signed contract before the end of this year. The intent is we are planning to bring in a tattoo operation here on the installation.
No, I it's a question that Chief and I get a lot, about, specifically about the tattoo piece. The barbershop piece, I understand. I mean, you lost a bunch of people, right? So it's not... I mean, it's not what we want, but it is what it is. The tattoo piece, I would just say to everybody, there have been tattoo parlors on military installations, specifically in the Navy, for a long time, going back more than a decade. But the thing that, the appealing part of it is that the tattoo parlor on base, I mean, other than a revenue stream, which is not really the priority, our public health gets to evaluate them, so we know that it's safe. And part of the contract is that they're aware of the Army and Air Force regulations, yes. Right? And so the kids that are, the airmen and soldiers that are getting tattoos are gonna get them. So if they're gonna get them, I'd rather them get one that's safe and get it on the installation so that they don't accidentally get something that's gonna be a detriment to good order and discipline. So that's kind of the why.
We've worked closely with public health and the concession to ensure that they're following regulations. And so operation here, to include our concessions, work closely with us as in regards to what they can or cannot do on the installations. And most definitely, each one of you have a say in what your concerns are, and when you bring that to the table with us, we can definitely share it and address it. So
Good morning. I am Kelsey. I'm the marketing director for the FSS Squadrons. Today I'm going to talk about a few different things we have coming up. So starting with the November events, these are the list of events that we have going on for the month of November. Two things I did want to point out is that the free movies that we had, the two that we had scheduled for this month, the dates have changed. The Little Mermaid showing went from being on the Sunday to now being on the Saturday. It's just to meet the hours of operation that we have for those facilities. And then the free movie Sound of Freedom moved from the 19th to the 18th. Times are still the same, however, we did have to change the dates. Next slide, please. Here is a list of some upcoming December events. The 12 Days of Giving, I'll talk about more in a slide coming up, as well as the tree lighting ceremony and breakfast with Santa. And then here are some for January. This will fill out more as we progress throughout or get closer to January. Something to keep in mind, we're going to be doing something similar to the 12 Days of Giving in January. It will be the 12 Days of Savings, where we'll offer kind of 50% off, BOGO deals, and things along those lines. So more information to come. Next slide, please. So the first I want to talk about are the November events that we have coming up that pertain specifically to Thanksgiving and the things of where you're able to earn a turkey. So the Polar Bowl is going to be having the Bowl of Turkey, Get a Turkey. We have a Turkey Trot 9-pin no-tap tournament. Skeet and Trap also offers a Gobble Wobble turkey shoot, so you can also get a turkey. And then, of course, you can eat turkey at both the Wilderness Inn and the Iditarod. Next slide, please. This is the 12 Days of Giving program. So for the first 12 days of December, we'll be offering an opportunity for you to attend free events throughout the first 12 days. It's a fantastic opportunity. It's a great give back that we're going to be doing for the installation. Some of the things that we're offering include, like on December 2nd, a holiday gift wrapping and hot cocoa holiday gift, where you'll go over to the youth centers and you'll be able to wrap your gifts as well as create some hot cocoa holiday crafts for your family members. We'll also have a Santa Paws and a reading at the library, so the children will be able to read with Santa as well as be able to take photos. And those that don't have children but have furry children will be able to bring your pets over and take photos with Santa. Any questions so far? Next slide, please. And then here's a list of upcoming events that we have from November to throughout December. It's just to kind of encapsulate everything that we have available during this holiday season. We do have some things coming up. A lot of these events are free. We do have a few of them that have the price associated with it, but pretty much majority of the events, you guys will be able to stay active during the winter. Next slide, please. All right, so tree lighting ceremony is going to be held on Friday, the 1st of December. We'll have it from 5:30 to 6:30. All ages welcome. It's going to be held over here at Building 1. We'll have it to where we're lighting the tree. We'll have Christmas carols sang by the schools, as well as hot chocolate available, a craft, and then after the ceremony, there'll be a free movie showing, and we'll be showing the Muppets Christmas Carol. Next slide. Breakfast with Santa will be held on Saturday, December 2nd from 9 to 11 a.m. It's $5 per person. There is a lower rate of $2 per person for those that are Jaybird Life members. Here you'll be able to have breakfast with Santa, enjoy prizes, all the different activities held at the Arctic Oasis Community Center. Sign-ups are required, so please feel free to give them a call to sign up. Any questions? Perfect, thank you. And now is Sarah.
Good morning, I'm Sarah Mueller, I'm the Community Services Flight Chief. Looking for units, platoons, groups, anybody to come help me decorate my trees over at the Arctic Warrior Event Center. We do have 9 of them to be decorated, so you can decorate them in your theme of your department or your platoon, or if you just want to decorate it in all red. I will not tell you what you need it or how to decorate it. I just need somebody to come decorate my trees for me. So please, the QR code is just a snapshot. It's just the Sign Up Genius, basically a site to pick one of those trees. Like I said, we have 9 of them. You have to actually offer some of the decorations. We'll have some containers to house your decorations thereafter if you would like to donate them or continue. But it will be a competition, and I'm going to promise you that we will make it worth your while. We might be giving away some free tubing tickets for your unit or maybe a free lodge rental. So I'm not going to tell you specifically. I just need you to be encouraged to come out and help us decorate those trees. And then if you're not into decorating, you have a chance to actually vote for the best tree. And so if you're in the AWIC, we're going to have some ballots that you can actually judge yourself on who actually decorated the tree the best.
I think we may want to cordon off, let's call it, I don't know, 3 of those trees, because I think we may have some, we may have some very specific, I may designate one for the division, one for the 11th Air Force, if there's an interest, just before it gets snatched up by somebody else, just in case we want to do that. But I'll speak with General Eifler and General Nahom to make sure, and the brigade and the wing commanders. Okay. But yeah, and then but knowing them, they will bring their A game, so it'll be good.
We'll see.
When I was at Peterson and we created the Space Force and Space Command, and we suddenly bought a dozen extra trees because it was every service had to have a tree and every. But I'll be candid, they came out and decorated them and it looked great. But you can imagine we bought a bunch of trees, and so I'm with Sarah and Joe. The more the merrier, and if we need to. Sarah's right. If a unit wants to bring out their own morale and make it their own, they can. But if it's we can also help buy the stuff if we need to kind of decorate with their colors and such.
Basically, he'll go harder for you.
That's right.
Yeah. Yeah. We're not. These are not trees from the woods. These are all.
40-footers.
Yeah. Exactly.
40-footers. You got me.
Savannah, I'm sorry. Go ahead.
No, you're good. Good morning. I'm Savannah, the pool manager at Elmendorf Fitness Center. So. Preface this by saying this is tentative on CE being able to get our pool up and running again in time. If it's not, we'll just postpone it and do it again. But we're going to do a Water Warrior Challenge. We have an inflatable obstacle course at Elmendorf Fitness Center that spans the entire length of the pool. That's actually exactly what it looks like in this picture.
That's where a pool looks like? No. That's
no.
I was I
wish.
You didn't tell me we had this here.
If you want to talk about it, we can make it happen. But it's basically we're going to be doing team and individual challenges like speed runs on the obstacle course. So it's open to ages 18 plus. We don't want to, get any kids, slipping and sliding on this thing. So it's just adults this time. Individuals can all compete against each other. That's going to start at 5:30 on November 17th. And then team challenges, it'll incorporate a team bonding challenge. Maybe you have to transport some things from A to B and build it. But prizes for the top 3 fastest individuals and then the top 3 fastest teams. It's really, really fun. We're also partnering with the Sapper office on the Elmendorf side of base. We do a lot of work with them. So they'll be helping us out with prizes and promotion and all that sort of stuff. But yeah, the event will be on the 17th and we're gonna start taking signups at Elmendorf Fitness Center. You can either call or come in. Again, tentative on our ability to have the pool open on time.
Good morning. My name is Darren Patton. I'm the personal financial counselor for all of J-Bear. So I can help you with anything from budgeting to talking about your TSP, helping you get out of debt. If you've run up some credit cards, we're coming up on Christmas. I'm sure there's going to be some expenses. And my services are for active duty folks, their family members, guard, reserves. It's all confidential. Of course, there's no cost to meet with me. And here's some dates we have, given the decrease in COLA, put together some budgeting and saving and investing seminars. So if these dates aren't convenient for you, please contact me directly. I'd be happy to come out to your unit and just give a brief on site if that's more convenient. I'd be happy to do that. And this is my contact information. Those flyers are being passed around. So my contact information is there with my phone number, email address. Again, please feel free to reach out to me. I'd be happy to help you with any of your financial needs. Any questions? All right. Well, thank you very much.
I think especially with COLA reductions on the forefront and other things coming, we need financial
Education is always value added.
Good morning. I'm Paola Pacheco, and I'm the Military One Source State consultant. And in response to the college changes, I am also talking about the financial counselors and financial counseling service and programs that Military One Source does have to offer. As a reminder, Military One Source is an online-based and telephonically-based program, and it's 24/7. So the good thing about having an additional resource for financial is that you can call at any time during the day, any day during the year, and you can make an appointment to talk to a financial counselor. We do refer back to the local counselor if face-to-face is more what you want, but we do have additional resources. Next slide, please. We offer online, telephonically, in person, and chat option for financial counseling. Because this is a self-help and self-care kind of program, there's a lot of additional resources, financial resources available on the website. I will highly encourage all of you to download our app. We have an app that is one of the best updates that they have done in a long time, because you can use the chat option right there and then at any time and talk and ask your questions. Not only that, we have additional resources that can help figure out what is it that this change in COLA means. Maybe your spouse might be looking into some employment and whatnot, and we have resources for that too. Next slide, please. We have another program called Meal Life Learning, and we have six different financial self-taught and self-paced, that's what I meant to say, self-paced programs that can also help, including car buying basics, investing in your future, money and the move, developing your spending plan, and let's talk spending plans. So if, again, COLA is a topic that you are hearing in your units, that is a concern. Maybe some of the service members don't even know what means, what it translates to. I took a look at my household LES, and I figure out what does it mean, what that 20% translate to, and adjust accordingly. Our financial counselors can definitely help looking at that LES and figure it out, and maybe make a better budget, maybe just the spouse, maybe the service member have this role on the spouse to do the financial task in the home, and they can talk to a financial counselor at any time with Military One Source. Again, I encourage the app. My Military One Source is the name on the app store, and is very, very, very helpful. Any questions for me? So here's the toll-free number, 800-342-9647. We have, like I said, 24/7, 365 days a year. And it's not only for service members here at Jaber, they can be anywhere in the world. If you have deployed service members, or maybe somebody's TDY, or gone for a little bit, they can call from anywhere in the world. All they have to do is just go to the website and find the calling option for their country that they're in. That's all I have. Thank you very much.
Moving to open discussion.
A couple things that we wanted to note. In January, I don't think we have an exact date yet, but we're going to be closing the Iditarod DFAC on the Elmendorf side of base for a renovation. It's going to be down for approximately 6 months. The military members specifically impacts the airmen that live on that side of base, who typically would be on essential messing, are all going to be put on BAS. And so the finance team is working that right now. We're going to do it in advance because we'd like it not to, you know, we want to line it up so that they don't go weeks without that pay. There's still going to be dining options on the installation. They can take that BS and shop at the commissary. They can eat in a NAF facility. They can go to the wilderness and eat there. So still have dining facility options. They're just going to have to pay for it because they're going to be receiving essential messing. And I can tell you, we've done the math. By the way, the pod, so most of you don't don't frequent it, so you won't know what it is. But on the flight line, there is a food option that the dining facility makes and then transports over there. It's much smaller. It's kind of your grab-and-go box meals. But that still exists, right? So that's still going to be there. But we've done the math, and so if, you know, I can tell you, as someone who eats at the Wilderness. Yeah, but not for 6 months. Yeah, but we're still going to provide box meals even while the pod is down.
We have lots of options.
Yes, but the highlight I would say, and Chief and I have been taking a lot of questions on this. If you go to the Wilderness, if you still want to eat a dining facility meal, the Wilderness is outstanding. I eat there all the time, and the amount of money you get for BAS is more than you're going to spend for three meals at the Wilderness. So it ends up working out. I can say that for most of the airmen that work on the flight line, Wilderness is not the most convenient location. You have to go across the installation, just like it would be the same if the soldiers were transversing to the Iditarod. But anyway, that's going to be a big one for the community. Yes, ma'am.
And then, sir, we also have a working group meeting today, and we're going to offer food specials throughout the installation for folks. We're going to team with the USO and the NKSYMCA to talk about their food pantry and things like that as well, too. So we'll be having a lot of messaging about the renovation and closure and options for our folks to eat.
Yeah. I mean, they've got kitchenettes in the dormitories, but I think our concern, and Chief and I have talked about it, right, is that you start eating a lot of bad food, and so that goes back to the education piece. And then in the mixture of losing COLA while you get BAS and everything else going on in the economy, you know, I'm certain that when I was 18 years old, I wouldn't have went and bought a brand new sports car, maybe. Mm-hmm. But that's the fear, right, is that this money will go away after a while.
Can I add 2 points?
Yes, sir.
Just to add 2 points, I know we briefed the budgeting classes. This might be the time, if they haven't gone through a basic budgeting class, to get those, that E4 and below crowd that lives in the barracks or in the dorms, in our case, there, man, to do some basic budgeting before you get yourself in a situation where you're 6 months in, you're driving your 25% interest rate Mustang and you're eating ramen noodles every other night because you blew all your food money and other things. To add to the why are we shutting down that dinner route, that's for a big renovation project. It's over $1 million project. I think it's 1.3 mil. We're spending to update a bunch of things that need to be fixed and updated. And this is the largest kind of update we've done in over 11 years, if I'm not mistaken. So it's just too, my goodness will come out of it. We'll be better for it come July. You can't just say no and walk away from the money in the project and say and leave it as is. I think it's a good opportunity to make it better.
Before I get into my notes from the Airborne Division, ma'am, do you have anything you want to add or talk about? Or team, anything that you want to highlight that we've missed or blind spots maybe?
Good.
Great. Thank you very much. Thanks for being here always. We appreciate you. So my only other note is we spent a lot of time. So I started by talking about customer satisfaction. Feedback is a big topic that we have all the time. And the message that we give to everybody is we can always communicate better. So we've never arrived, as Chief reminds me, on the like, okay, we've said this enough, we don't got to say it anymore. So I can tell you that there's 100 ways we communicate, and that isn't enough. Because there is a spouse out there or a family member or somebody on this base who does not know. And you know, me telling a room full of colonels doesn't get it done. No offense to the colonels, but that's not enough. Or sending a mass email that right half the base either deletes or doesn't see because they don't send an email all day. They're out doing work. And so we're looking for ways to communicate better. So if you have ideas, let us know. If we're missing the mark, if there's something that exists, and maybe we just got to point you towards it. And I'll give you an example. These slides, Frank and the team spent a lot of time on these slides, as you can see. Like this stuff, you know, I'm not a PowerPoint expert, but you know, they spent a lot of time. I'm sure that most of you don't know where all this stuff is housed at. And so, going back to the chief's point on finances, I think what most of us would say is. If we're talking about a very specific population of young service members, and of course they would have to opt in for some of this stuff, they would have to ask for educational services that they don't even know that they need it, of course, right? Or they'd be asking for it. So really, I'm talking to leadership. You know, if you want to bring this capability to your unit, we can do that. If you have a population of people that you feel like need to hear this message, we've got people that we can bring to them, right? And so sometimes that's the way to do it. And I would just add, so between the CAC, which you know. I know we've talked about it for 18 months now, but you know, my desire would be we have so many people that want to come to the CAC, we have to do it somewhere other than this room. But that's, you know, I would just say bring a friend, keep talking about it. Nothing would make me happier than this to be a big open debate, have spouses and family members in the room who don't know and are asking a bunch of questions. I get that it's not the greatest time, it's the middle of the workday, they have lives. So this is a forum. ICE, of course, is a forum. I think some people are afraid that ICE is just a place where you go to complain about, you know, you got cold fries. If you got cold fries, go to ICE as well. But this base, and you know, I think it's kudos to the Army culture, because the Air Force doesn't really do this at every installation. We have ICE for every element. I mean, every work section, everywhere on the whole installation has an ICE site, and we read every one of those, right? And I can tell you, I won't make them raise their hands, but if you put a comment in and put words in it, a leader is going to read it. The command chief sees all the ones that get sent to my front office, and we get some. Yeah. And we take them seriously. I get it. Sometimes people, you know, I can go in there and be like, I hate the snow. You can do that, and we will read it, but there's my position is always that there is a granule of truth in all feedback. Doesn't necessarily mean we're going to go change all policy, but it doesn't mean it's of no value. It's also, if you want to give good ideas, you can do it through ICE, you can do it through the chain of command. Public affairs has, we used to call it the hotline. I don't think we really do that anymore. But you can still, public affairs kind of takes all of the, typically they get it from the community, but it's a great place. If you have a question about the installation and don't know why something is that way, you can always call or write public affairs. They will bring it directly to me, and I will give a response back to that question. And then I will add, on top of all the forums and the chains of command and senior mission partners, military commanders who want you to talk to them, you can always email me at david.wilson.14@us.af.mil, and I absolutely promise you will get an answer that is both from me and informed by the experts who run the program. And I'll be both candid and transparent. While we were sitting here, I got a note from Senator Sullivan's staff about a service on the installation. And I wrote her back immediately and said, this is how that is, and we're, you know, we're trying to do better and open things up and be more supportive to the entire community. So I have that promise for everybody. So just do me a favor, pass that around, because it's not just complaints, even though complaints are part of it. It's also good ideas. I think we have people in the community who see, hey, why don't we do this? Or I've seen it done this way. Or, you know, if you just made this change, it would open it for everyone. And we want to get after it, and we want to do better.
ICE compliments for things you like.
Absolutely. So ICE compliments is a good way to put it. So this thing at the beginning, I would challenge all of us, and this is specifically a leadership thing. ICE is absolutely a place to put in complaints, and sometimes we need to hear that, absolutely. But also, if you have great service, go into ICE and say that. If you know, I can tell you that every day I walk into an area somewhere, and I run into a soldier, an airman, a civilian employee who's just fantastic. And I think we need to remind people, because that positive feedback has a huge impact on morale, especially in sections who work their tail off and don't get a lot of recognition because they're doing their job. That's okay. But put it nice, and that way leadership will recognize them. And I would just highlight, and if that's too much, and I get it is, I would recommend, I just use JBear, the JBear Connect app. Go to the JBear Connect app, and there's an ICE button, and all of the sections are on there, and you can just pick whoever you want, and you can go in and say whatever you want about it. You can be anonymous, or you can put your name in there. It has a huge impact on people. Some of the folks in the room will attest, because there'll be moments when Colonel Wilson's sitting at home on his couch, and I'm just going through, like, putting ICE comments into multiple sections, just giving people feedback. And so if I can do it, all of you can do it. And then I'll end with, on the JBear Connect app, even though there's no snow outside, it is coming, I promise, and winter is upon us. And so I would recommend that you download the JBear Connect app. If you don't already have it, please pass it out to your workforce. You don't have to have the Connect app, but it is a way that messaging, for instance, road condition changes, base installation closures, will go out through the JBear Connect app. Know that our goal is for ad hoc, the email messaging system that comes out through our command post, to be the primary source. Not Facebook, not Twitter, and not those other. Now, don't get me wrong, most people get information from those sources, not from the official source. So we go to great pains, because of me, we have failed in the past. I messed it up last year once or twice. But we go to great pains to make sure that the message that is communicated through mission commanders and the command post through ad hoc matches word for word what's on Facebook, to the point where the public affairs team, is PA here? Public affairs team, in conjunction with marketing and the command post, whenever we start having a snow event, they get on the phone, they stand in the room together to make sure all that language is exact, because I know it impacts our families and the missions. All right. I promise that's the end. Questions or comments? Yes, sir.
Hey, sir, first time here. Where are these slides?
Marketing?
It is. It's going to be on the JBear official website. On the side, left-hand side, no, right-hand side, there's going to be a column, and it's going to say Community Action Council. You're going to click there, and they'll have these slides as well as the previous ones from all the previous ones.
Thank you.
And if you want, just leave me your email. I'll make sure that you get like a link with it on there as well. Yes, sir.
Mr. Major Freeman, Conflict Squad Commander. I'm not sure if it was mentioned earlier, but is there any update on our COVID installation policy, in particular for CDCs?
Yeah, that's Major Freeman. Yes. So, asking for a friend. Yet another email we got this morning. So I'm gonna. So we're making changes to it right now, and it's actually been in the works for a few weeks because the CDC, not childcare, but the federal government CDC, has made changes in the last month or so, which then causes us to make changes. There's public affairs. See, right when I call him out, he's here. I'm just teasing. Sorry, Major. She's been in the back micing me up this whole time. It's all good. So I'm going to put out an updated policy, and I'm hesitant, so before you take this to the bank, just know that there's a lot of what Colonel Wilson wants, and what is, the lawyers aren't here today, there he is, sorry. There's a lot of what Colonel Wilson wants and what the law allows, and they're not always congruent. So the public health directive, public health official, Lieutenant Colonel Eaton, said that we're going to rescind both. Here's my intent to get to your specific question. We are not going to mandate, nor have we been mandating, even though that's what the policy says, we're not going to mandate mask wear in child development centers. I can tell you what the CDC guidelines say, is that if you're over the age of 2 and you're symptomatic, you've taken a test and you are cleared, but you can come back to the CDC, they recommend you wear a mask. If parents want to put masks on their kids, they absolutely can. But we are not going to make children wear masks in the CDC. Not going to do that. Now that I can tell you, there are two groups of constituents. There are some people who go, great job. And there are other people who go, how dare you? And my takeaway to that is, if you want your child to wear a mask, you can put a mask on them and we'll try to help keep them on them. Those of you who have 2 and 3 year olds know that it's very difficult to keep a mask on a 2 or 3 year old. And it's actually a bit disgusting before it's all over with. But if a parent wants their child to do that, we will help them do it, but we're not going to make it policy for all kids in the CDC. And of course, it's no different than if there's a epidemic of the flu in the CDC. If you're worried about your kiddo getting sick, you can always keep them home. Now, I get it. Mission typically doesn't allow that, but once again, that's parents' decisions. We're not going to enforce it at the CDC. That's one thing. I don't think we've been enforcing it, quite frankly, anyway, but that has been policy. And the second piece is, and I've already seen the message from your chief, so I know where your question's at. The second thing is, we are absolutely not, and there's probably people at home today, but we're not going to send children home because there is someone who tested positive in their classroom. We're not going to do that. So the reason this comes up is I can tell you recently, as of this morning, there was a message sent out to parents that said, there was someone in your classroom who tested positive, therefore you are all now, like, have to be home for the next 10 days. We're not going to do that, right? So no different than the chicken pox, the flu, or COVID. If you test positive, you don't need to be in the facility. I think we all agree with that, right? It used to be hand, foot, and mouth was always the thing, right? If you have that, you got to go home, right? You're positive. If you have a fever, we don't want you to make all the kids sick. We may post in a classroom, like we used to do with hand, foot, and mouth, and say, hey, there's kids home that had the flu in this classroom. Be aware, so that parents are aware of what's going on. But what we're not going to do is send healthy kids who are asymptomatic, who have not tested positive, home, because the impact it has on the mission across the installation is devastating. I'm being a bit vague because my counsel here at some point is going to have to take what the President of the United States has said is the requirement, Colonel Wilson's druthers, and our mission requirements, and connect those things together. But I think my intent is pretty clear. So if there are some folks who have kids at home today, because that was our policy, and as of before I came to this meeting, we changed it. So there'll be some guidance coming out, if not today, early this week, making it clear, and then you'll see. I know Mr. Dyson's team is working it as well. What did I miss, Rick? That's why you're my favorite, just in case you wonder.
So, sir, we have sent some notice out closing some classrooms, so thank you for that guidance.
We're not doing that, yeah.
I mean, people trying to do right. Like, I don't think it's us trying to do the wrong thing. But I, as you all know, and man, I'm just so glad we're not where we were 2 years ago with this COVID stuff, right? Policy changing every 90 days. We still want, there's COVID still going around. I mean, I've had people, my secretary was out sick with it. We've got people still getting it. So I'm not trying to say, you know, you can get sick and feel terrible, but so is the flu. If you want the, there's an updated COVID vaccine. It is not mandatory. It is not being tracked, but they have it at the hospital. I don't want to speak for the medics. Where are my medics at? We have it, right? We still have available. So if you want to go in and get the COVID vaccine, you can. And we have flu vaccine. So if you want to get the flu, it's flu season. So for military members, it's not optional. You have to get the flu vaccine. Yes, sir. Yep. Yeah. Yes. But there have been classroom decisions made today that can't be changed, like as of this. So I don't want someone to drive to the CDC like in the next hour, right? Because they've made some decisions on staffing. But as of tomorrow morning, if the child is healthy themselves and hasn't tested positive for COVID, then they should be in the classroom. If they are sick, if you've got the flu, if you have a fever, then the same policy that's always applied, Christine, I know you're my SME here on this one, yes. Right? I mean, that's the same policy is going to apply. If you're sick and have a fever and you're coughing and you don't feel good, then we're going to call parents and go, hey, I'm so sorry, but we can't have them. They got to go home. And even that, you know, we can have conversations about if you're mission critical, how we can mitigate that. What else? Ma'am. Thank you so much. That's fantastic feedback. You're on the exact right track, and I'll let the experts, our engineer team here, talk a little bit about big projects. But just from an installation perspective, you're exactly right. We are temporary residents on this space, this land, and this installation, and so our goal are to be good stewards. I can tell you, the state of Alaska is very focused on it. I mean, the environmental policy. I mean, we don't randomly cut down trees. We do not harm animals on installation unless the animals themselves are becoming a harm to people, and we try to be good stewards. So, I mean, one thing we talk about with folks as they move in here is that we live among wolves and moose and bears, right? And to the extent that they're behaving like animals, we need to live amongst them, right? So we need to not put our trash cans out so that we don't entice them to come find a food source, because that leads to them, us having a wild animal people interactions with are bad. And then to your point, we struggle a lot with the nature of what we do here, which is this is an industrial enterprise. So we have airfields and we have training ranges and, right? And then, but also taking care of the environment around us, which means we spend a lot of time making sure that we're not contaminating or further contaminating, because the reality is we have contaminated the soil, not necessarily just the DOD, but we are culprits in it in terms of PFOS, PFOA, things like fire prevention foam and all industrial chemicals, right? Trying to keep that out of the groundwater. And I mean, we have sophisticated sensors in all of the drains and at the entry point where the river hits the bay to make sure that if we're a culprit of that, and fuel spills happen, and we have a process by which we clean those spills up and mitigate and then report them. And I can promise you, as the guy that gets all the messages, we have a great relationship with the EPA, and they have no problem showing up and telling us where we can do better, and we try to do better in those areas. So do we have it all figured out? No, but I think you're on the right track. And then I think there's also a piece from a community standpoint for the whole community to recognize that we all have a role in that, right? From picking up pieces of trash we see on the ground to being good stewards of the area around us. So engineers, what am I missing?
Sir, you probably said it more eloquently than I would, but to answer your question, we do partner with the Alaska Department of Environmental Conservation, Environmental Protection Agency, and do recognize that we have to preserve the environment, because if we don't, it impacts the mission. And that's how do we balance environmental concerns with the mission. Sometimes we do have to cut down trees. Part of that could be associated with it's a hazard to flight, or it could be that we've got bark beetles and we want to prevent those from spreading further. So, there is something that we have to balance and make sure we're being proper stewards of the environment. We do have a installation natural resources management action plan that kind of charts out what we do that, and it's coordinated on by the Environmental Protection Agency, the our partners in Alaska. So, we're doing our best to try to manage balancing the mission and the environmental concerns and really trying to make sure that we don't cause environmental issues that impact mission. But as the boss said, we probably haven't been as good as stewards in the past. Back in the 50s and 60s, we probably didn't have as much concern for the environment as we realize that we do need to now. And some of that's coming back to, if not haunt us, definitely causing impacts to what we do on base. So, you're spot on as far as that we need to have that in the back of our minds, and or not in the back of our minds, the front of our minds, but and make that part of our daily things. But there may be some things that you see that you may think has an impact that there may be a good reason to, and I'm happy to discuss specific ones. I'm interested in the metal and the river that typically isn't there. So
we'll follow up on it and see what's going on. One thing, I know this is not necessarily your question, but one thing I think that's educational for everybody. So we're in the midst of hiring right now more conservation law enforcement officers on the installation. So we have two, and we have a biologist. So she's kind of so how many MCAs do we have right now? So this is a volunteer program where service members and anybody in the room has an MCA, spouses as well. Usually we've got a couple. So this is a volunteer program where it's above and beyond your duty, but you go out and you get training and law, and it's conservation law enforcement. Game wardens. Thank you, Chief. I can tell you that those are the ones you'll see around the base most of the time, are those folks, and the ones who really are interested in it love it. I mean, they have a passion for it. And so, at our height, we've been up in, we've had 40, 50, yeah. And so they end up covering down a lot, because that's how, because one of the questions I get is, how do you cover an installation this size? You don't with two conservation law enforcement officers. And so the volunteers help, but that's not the answer. And so we have funded three, what we call unfunded, which is to say we're paying for it kind of out of hide, positions. And our goal is to add more, but the hiring process is a process. So if we can fill those three, right, and we can find people to do those jobs, we may grow it larger. And a lot of this was driven by a terrible incident that happened over a year ago. We had a soldier who was mauled by a brown bear on the installation and lost his life, and another soldier who was hurt very badly. And so the Airborne Division led a safety investigation, and all of the elements of it have been acted upon or being worked. But it brought to the forefront that we live in a dangerous place, and that we have to both respect it and be aware of it. And so there was a lot of elements of that investigation, but one of the big ones was we don't have enough professional conservation law enforcement out. The feedback I usually get on a less serious note is usually like, hey, these cops are out there busting me from fishing illegally in the lakes. They're not necessarily looking to harass people, but they are, because you can imagine we get a lot of folks, especially outside the cantonment area on the installation, which is outside the fence line, but still on J-Bear. We do get a lot of folks doing things they shouldn't be doing on the installation. Hunting, setting animal traps illegally, so it's difficult to police all of it. But so I will say, you may occasionally get the
hey, you know, you on a kayak, come back over here and show me, you know, show me your stuff. Some of that is driven by, did you sign in to Rec Access, formerly known as iSportsman? And so that's not just about policing, it's also about life saving, because we need to track where people are on the installation. Because, for instance, if the training, if the airborne division is not training one day and we've opened up an area of the base and people go to recreate there, but then they don't check out of Rec Access, well, the next day it impacts the training division or the airborne division's training plan, because we gotta go find those people and make sure that they actually left the area. So now we dispatch search and rescue, right? We've messed up the training schedule only for somebody who's at home in their bed and they just never log back out of the system. Or if you did log into the system and you got lost and need help, we're gonna come find you. And so there's more to it than just kind of the, why are these conservation guys harassing me when I'm out here fishing? Any other questions or concerns? I think we've got a, I know we've gone long, but it's good. Yes, sir.
Just a quick reminder, the Train Club will have their open house on the 18th of this Saturday, and for those of you who missed the October one, the cake and ice cream was very good.
If you haven't been over there, what's the building? You're in the basement of the lodging building. 7153 Matanuska, and it's the lodging front desk is on the floor right above them. If you haven't been over there to see it, it's absolutely worth walking around. Any other alibis? Fantastic. Thanks, everybody. I'll stick around in case you have any other questions. Have a great rest of your day.